Father, we come with hearts of gratitude and humility. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We enter into your word with reverence because we are fully conscious of the limitations of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that's been compressed into the written word. And therefore, we ask you to help us, in particular to give me fresh unction and anointing that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God, and put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all the people that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as I speak, your power will be released in sufficient measure. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear, not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life agreed with me individually and said, amen. Amen. We're going to continue studying God's word this morning. We are in 2 John, I believe it is. And we are in the last two verses. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 11, where we were talking about the Antichrist spirit and the fact that, you know, he says anybody who doesn't have the teaching of Christ, who doesn't have the doctrine of Christ, is an Antichrist. He says, don't receive him into your house. Do not grant him Godspeed. And I explained that you have to interpret that scripture contextually. In other words, if you just take it literally, you will walk out of the love of God. There are lots of people on the earth today who do not have the doctrine of Christ. Does that mean we don't allow them into our homes? Does that mean we don't allow them into our individual houses? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the church. He's writing to this woman who is the pastor or the leader of those group of Christians, the elect lady, and he says, if somebody comes, in those days there were a lot of itinerant teachers and preachers, and people went around with all kinds of strange doctrines, all kinds of distortions of the original truth that was preached by the 12 apostles and Paul, you know. So it was in the light of that John was writing, and he said, look, if there's anybody who comes around, you know, with, and he's not teaching about Jesus, that Jesus died, Jesus came in the flesh, you know, the virgin birth, his death on the cross, his literal bodily resurrection from the dead, you know, and all these fundamental things, that don't allow him. Don't allow him to enter your house, that is, into your church. You have to interpret it in that context, because in those days, the churches were inside the houses of the Christians. We didn't have churches like we have today, where you have buildings like this and cathedrals. All that came much later. At that time, in the Roman Empire, the Christians were under severe persecution, so they met only in houses, in people's houses. And so, like Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house, and many others like that. And so it was in that context he said, look, if he comes, don't let him into your house. In other words, don't give him room as a teacher, as a preacher. Don't let him come and teach the people, you know, in your house. And don't give him money. Godspeed means money. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what it means. You know, you don't encourage him. Don't contribute to his support, you know, because in those days they used to go around, you know, from house to house, church to church, like Paul, you know, from city to city, and they would meet the Christians there and they would teach them in groups, you know, sometimes in a school like the school of Tyrannus in Ephesus, sometimes in a house, you know. And when they're going, usually that's what they say, grant him God's speed. In other words, let God bless him on his journey. But you don't just say that with your mouth, you bring something out of your pocket and you give to him. Hello, somebody. Hello. You know, Christians love God's speed. God bless you. God bless you. You can't preach the gospel on God bless you. You need money. Okay. So it was in that context. So when you understand it like that, you'll not understand what he's talking about. However, like I said, you know, on the flip side, if somebody's just not a Christian and they don't believe in the doctrine of Christ, of course you can let them into your house. You know, they can be your friends, they can be your neighbors, they can be your in-laws, they can be your relatives. So if you're going to take this scripture literally, and that's why the Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. If you take it literally, it means anybody who doesn't have doctrine of Christ, you can't let them inside your house. Including your mother-in-law. I just said that jokingly. You know, you can see how this will contravene the law of love. So you have to interpret the scripture in the light of God's love. So what he's saying here is, you know, for people who are teaching and all of that. And then if you have your relatives and friends and who don't believe in the doctrine of Christ, still love them. Let them in, you know, pray for them, bless them where you can, you know. Love never fails, folks. I didn't hear you. I said love never fails. Even when they don't believe at first, if you keep praying for them and you keep showing them love, you know, some of them will change. And the reason why they don't believe is because Satan is blinding them. So your conflict with them is not a physical one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You pray for them to break that power of Satan that is blinding their eyes, and so that the light of gospel will shine onto them. You know, and to facilitate that, you do acts of love. Those acts of love will ultimately, you know, for some of them, because it won't be everybody, because some people have very stubborn hearts, but some people will respond to that love and they will get born again. So and Jesus said this is a very important principle for us to hold on to. I've shared it over the years. I shared it last week. We just hit it running. You know, we'll have to turn back to it. Well, we can put it on the board. It says, you know, if any man hears my word, believes it, I judge him not. It's a very important principle. Most Christians don't know that scripture, because most of us have a judgmental, condemnatory attitude when people don't believe. You're not supposed to do that. He said, I judge him not. He said, the word I have spoken will judge him at the last day. Now, there's a long time between now and the last day. So what God expects you to do is that between now and the last day, show him love and see if you can change him. If you can change him, great. If you don't change him, at least you'd have done your best. Are you listening to me? Do not have a judgmental, holier-than-thou, Pharisaic, hypocritical attitude towards unbelievers. God said this to me many years ago. He said, every unbeliever is a potential saint. He's not a saint yet, but he's a potential saint. And you have to treat him with that respect, because you don't know what he will become. Like the Apostle Paul, for example. Paul was a persecutor of the Christian church. He did all kinds of crazy things, you know, locked people up and all of that. But this same Paul became the apostle. Amen. So imagine if you had a contradictory attitude towards him, and then he becomes an apostle and becomes your senior. Hello. Which was what happened, you know, when you know, with Peter and all of that. You know, this same Paul was one was not telling Peter that, you know, Peter was doing the wrong thing. But Paul wasn't like that at first. So you never know. And that's why we need to pray for people. You never know what God's doing, you know, how God will ultimately change some people. Not all of them, but, you know, of course he wants to change all of them. But not all of them will be honest and have repentant hearts, which is sad, you know, and regrettable. However, that does not stop us and should not stop us from doing the right thing. What you and I need to do is to pray for them, walk in love towards them, don't judge them. And remember, the other scripture I mentioned was that, you know, he said, I have sheep that are not of this fold. That's very important. You know, I'm going to be emphasizing those things in the days and the years to come, especially with the manifestation of the glory of God that's going to come. You know, because the church hasn't preached it over the years. Jesus taught religious tolerance. He did not teach religious compromise. Big difference. I will never compromise my faith and what I believe. If you don't believe in Jesus and you leave this earth and you're given the opportunity, you will go to hell. That's truth. Amen. I won't compromise on that, but I will not condemn you for what you believe. I will show you love. I'll show you kindness, trusting that God will change you. And so I know that there are people who are not Christians. The word is yet. Say, they are, I have sheep. They are sheep. He didn't call them goats. Said, I've got sheep that are not yet of this fold. So you have people, there's some of them are Muslims, some of them are Buddhists, some of them are Hindus, some of them, you know, different religions. You have to be tolerant, but don't compromise. Tolerance is not compromise. Tolerance is an act of wisdom and love. So what you do, you relate to them kindly and nicely as you can, you know, and you will find that, you know, God will soften their hearts. A taxi driver, Uber, gave me a lift. He took me on a ride once in London. He was an Indian guy, Pakistani, you know, and, you know, I was praying in the car, you know, because I pray a lot, you know, by the grace and mercy of God. So I was praying. So he noticed. So he looked at me, you know, and then he, I think I was looking through the rear view mirror. I think I was at the back. And he said to me, he said, you're praying, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, oh, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? I said, certainly not. You know, so he said, you know, he said, I take a lot of your people, Christians. He said, you know, I take them to all these different churches. And then I think it was Winners Chapel. He said, a lot of people in my, who live in my area, he said, I take them to church on Sundays. He said, their commitment amazes me. He said, they are so committed. You know, he said, they spend good money every Sunday. He said, well, on Sunday we just stay back and watch, you know, football and all of that. He said, you know, he said, and many of the Nigerians are like that. He said, they're so committed. He said, you know, and he said, you know, they influenced me. He said, asking me questions. He said, you know, they influenced me. He said, I'm a Muslim. You know, he said, and they are, he wasn't a Muslim, he was a Sikh. Yeah. So he was telling me, he said, they influenced me, you know, and I started taking my own religion much more seriously. I said, if these people can be going to church every Sunday, then I also should be more faithful, you know, to my religion. He said, and he said, you know, it's made me a better person. He said, I'm much better now. I said, I'm committed. He said, the important thing, I think, is for you to be committed to what you believe and actually act it out instead of being a hypocrite, you know. And he went on and on and on, you know. And the Lord said to me, he said, don't go and start railroading him. And I was like, oh, you're going to hell. I just left it. You know, he even gave me a tract. And I didn't say, oh, this rubbish. No. I took it. And I said, you're right. I said, God works on our hearts. And God is always looking for people whose hearts are honest. I said, what you're doing is right. I said, you're on the right track. And I'll be praying for you. And that's how we ended the conversation. That guy is already on the way. You know what started it? The Christianity. He said it was the Christianity that was leading him, so I knew God was already working on him. There is no point spoiling God's plan. Give the Lord a clap offering. But you know, sometimes we all do, you know, sometimes it's not like that. You still preach, do you understand? Because you see, sometimes God has to work on the heart to open it. When the heart's not yet open, and you just get conflict and... Hello. It's wisdom. It's one of the things we lack in the body of Christ. And you know, wisdom is the principal part of love. So the more you develop in the love of God, the wiser you get. And the better you know how. He says, he that is wise winneth souls. See, he that is unwise sometimes will not win the soul. He will just offend him. Okay, so we looked at all of that in our last lesson. Today we have a very, very important these last two verses here, though, and the Holy Spirit allowed me to postpone them till today because there's so much inside these two verses. So, having many things, I didn't hear you, folks. I didn't hear you. To write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust, excuse me, to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Then he says, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Elect sister, there is another church. At this time, the Apostle John was actually in charge of practically all the churches, because most of the other apostles had died. Paul had died, Peter had died, you know, they were all killed by the Roman authorities, and a lot of people were in hiding. John was also banished to the Isle of Patmos. He was brought back. They tried to kill him, they couldn't kill him, you know, and he wound up in Ephesus. So he was, you know, and from there he would send people out, you know, apostles and messengers, and they would go to the different churches in the different cities all over the empire and come and give him report. It's part of that report that made him write this letter about to this lady in this church. And so when he said, thy children of thy elect sister, talking about a sister church, you know, they also greet you. Now, having many things to say unto you, but I would not write them with paper and ink, but I will speak face to face. Even though what he's saying here is literal, there is a great principle here that you must learn as a Christian. The Bible cannot say everything God wants to say. The book will be too big. I heard a man of God, I think it was Kenneth Copeland, I'm not sure, but you know, I think it was, you know, who said that the entire spectrum of human existence has been comprehended into 66 volumes. That's a great statement. I'm going to repeat it. The entire spectrum of human existence has been compressed into 66 volumes, 66 books of the Bible. Everything God is going to ever say and has said is inside this Bible, but it's compressed. That is why Paul, you know, John had many things to say to these brethren. You see, that letter is very short. He said, look, I got too much to say. I can't write everything with paper and ink, but I'm trusting, I'm paraphrasing, that I will travel soon and I'll come and see you guys. And then when I'm with you physically, then we will talk face to face. I will be able to explain and expatiate on the many things that are inside my heart that I want to say to you. And in so doing, our joy will be full. There's a very great truth there. It's one of the reasons why I said this on Wednesday. You need to come to church. You know, and I said this. I said the online is only for people outside Ibadan. It's not for the people in Lagos and people in Abuja and people in England and people in Canada. It's not for you. If you are in Ibadan, you need to be in church. That our joy may be full. There is a blessing that comes from physical fellowship, because there is a spiritual flow that comes from the heart of the teacher or the pastor to yours that brings strength, which is joy. And you don't get it when you don't come. Especially when you don't come illegitimately. You see, for example, if you're ill, God forbid, you know, or you're indisposed, or it's important that you listen, you get blessed. But if you now try and make that a habit and just start missing church, God will cut the blessing off. You know why? The Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, much the more so as to say to see the day approaching. And the scripture cannot be broken. God will not support you in forsaking the assembly. I heard amen from about 10 people. You can't make that a habit. It's something you should use only when it's absolutely necessary, if you're in town. Now, if you're outside town, that's a different matter. And even if you're outside town, you have to have a church where you go. Then you now use this as a supplement. I didn't hear you. I just crawled over some people. Hello? And that's why I said that our joy may be full. When you rob yourself of that fellowship, your joy gets cut. Gets reduced. It's not full. And John is telling us a very important principle here. God, now, instead of it being John who wrote, think of it this way, and it's the same thing. That is the Holy Spirit who is talking to you, which it is, because it's a scripture and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is telling you, he's telling Prof, he's telling Laolu, that I have many things to say to you, Laolu, that are not written inside the Bible. That have not been written with paper. And he said, as you grow up spiritually and we begin to see each other face to face, I'll start telling you those things. That's the principle here. Do you understand? Watch this. The Holy Spirit gave it to me. You know, clarity of communication increases with spiritual growth. I'm going to say it again. Clarity of communication between you and God increases as you grow spiritually. A lot of people don't enjoy communion and fellowship with God because they are spiritually stunted. That's what Paul meant. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I believe it's verses 7 somewhere, where it says, when I was a child, I thought I was a child. 1 Corinthians, move up. I think it's verse 3, 4, somewhere in there. Yes. 1 Corinthians 11. Yeah. When I was a child, I didn't hear you. I spake as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I didn't hear you, folks. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12. For now, as a child, we see through a glass darkly, but then as a man, face to face. But now, as a child, I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. He's talking about epignosis. He's talking about having complete. It doesn't mean you know everything God does. It just means that you have complete knowledge. You have complete knowledge of God's understanding of God's person, of his character, of his plan. That's why the Apostle Paul could make such an outlandish statement and say, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. How can somebody say that? Who are you to think you know the whole counsel of God? Of course you can. That's the meaning of the Greek word epignosis. There are two Greek words for knowledge. There are probably more, but the two particular ones, you know, in the New Testament, the one is gnosis. The other one is epignosis. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where it says knowledge puffeth up, is gnosis. Gnosis will always puff you up because it's not complete. But epignosis will never puff you up because you cannot even get epignosis without humility. Hello? And that's why it's prefixed by epi. So, gnosis is just knowledge. Epignosis is complete, exact knowledge, where your knowledge of God is complete. In other words, you understand God completely in principle, in character, in his plan, in his redemption plan, in his timetable. For instance, let me give another example. Paul is telling the people, and he said that you don't need any man to write you concerning the coming of the Lord, for you know perfectly. How can you? Why? Because he had taught them. You see, let me give a practical example of today. You know, as something I've said many times here in church, I've said it jokingly, but I say it now jokingly and seriously, you know, just to illustrate this point. You know, I know perfectly that Jesus can't come tomorrow. Check it out. You'll be here tomorrow. Amen. I've said it many times over the years. How do I know? Because I know I have the knowledge of God's plan. It's not presumptuousness and it's not pride. You know, you hear some Christians, you know, say false humility. Oh, nobody knows. You know, Jesus can come tomorrow. The Bible says nobody knows the day or the hour. All they are saying is true, but it's only a half truth. Because they don't have complete knowledge. Yes, we don't know the day or the hour, but we are supposed to know the time and the seasons. And based on the knowledge of the time and season, I know he cannot come tomorrow. He's not coming next year. He's not coming in 10. He's not coming in 15. Let me say 20. I won't go to 30. How do I know? Because I understand I have the epignosis, by the grace and the mercy of God, of the plan, of the counsel of God concerning the coming of the Lord. It doesn't mean I know everything. I don't know everything. Only God knows everything. There are so many details of things. You know, I can understand something in principle without understanding the detail of a particular situation. Are you listening to me? In fact, I understand, for example, as a scientist and as a physicist, for example, I can understand the laws of motion. So I understand, you know, because of Newton's law of gravitation, that the Earth is going around the sun on an elliptical orbit, you know, once every 365 days. I know that by principle. But if you are to ask me now that what is the present velocity of the Earth rotating around its axis, and at what point on that elliptical orbit is the Earth today? Now, I can't give you the answer. I have to go and sit down, work a calculation to find out. And as I am doing it, it has changed. As I'm doing it, it's changing. You understand? Every minute, the Earth is still moving. So if I tell you now, you know, that, oh, it's at so and so amount of degrees, you know, from the foci of this particular ellipse, and I can tell you that in 5 minutes it's changed. That kind of detail I don't have. Only God has. So even though I understand the principle and I can work it out, I still don't know everything. That's the way in which we know everything and we still don't know everything. That's how we can have epignosis and yet not have the detail. For instance, I can give another example. I know that because of what the Bible says, that God is working on, he's showing himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. I know that. And so if I see somebody who is not a Christian, for example, like a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or whoever, and the guy has an honest heart, and God is working, you know, sovereignly in the person's life, you know, I can tell that God's working sovereignly. But I don't know all the details of what God's doing in that person's life. I don't know when he was born. I don't know where he is now. I don't know what's going to be in 2 years' time. But God's already worked out a trajectory for that person. Only if God reveals, that's why we need word of knowledge. That's why we need a prophet ministry. Sometimes God will just reveal, and even when he reveals, it's just a part. None of us can know everything God knows. Is this clear? That's in God's preserve, God's omniscience. Even, and you know the thing about it, I'll make you laugh. God is so kind, you know, he's so loving, he's so wonderful, you know, so he likes to share everything he has with us. Imagine if God not just tried to put all the information of everything that he knows now into your mind. This means your head will blow up. There's no capacity. Your brain doesn't have, with its 100 billion neurons, it doesn't have the capacity to store that kind of information. Even if God wanted to give it to you. So because God loves you, I don't want your brain to blow up. He just gives you the principles. Then he gives you a little detail here and there where you need it. It's the one that you need, he gives you. The one you don't need, it doesn't bother you. Because it will be information overload. You can't process it. Hallelujah. You know, when I think of things like this, I begin to respect God more and more. Then I know that, you know, we are far from God. We are smart, oh, and God has helped us, and God has given us revelation, but there's still a lot we don't know. It reminds me of one of the visions where Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, you know, and Jesus began to teach him about you can have what you say, you know, faith. And he taught him from the David. He taught him from David and Goliath. And, you know,
told him the story of David and Goliath, how David kept saying, you know, I will go and fight this Philistine. And said, David said it five times, you know, and he finally was able to do it. And Jesus now told Ken Hagin that if you be like David and you say, you know, and you believe in your heart, you know, God will do it, you know. And Ken, you know, of course, you know, Ken Hagin is a New Testament guy. You know, he just reads the epistle and all of that. He didn't know all these types and shadows. So God taught him. Jesus taught him from types and shadows using David. So Kagan said, Lord, he said, I've read the New Testament over 100 times. He said, I've never seen this story of David and Goliath like that. Yeah, Jesus just laughed sweetly. He said, there's a lot in there, son, you don't know. And I'm saying that to all of us. Folks, there is a lot in there we don't know. That's why we need to grow spiritually where God speaks to us face to face. Now, some people will put this face to face as heaven. Ah, yes, you know, now we're on the earth, we see through a glass darkly. He's not talking about heaven, he's talking about growth. That's why he used the illustration of child and man. Number one. Number two, where is it in the Bible? Look at Numbers. I think it's Numbers, you know, or Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. You know, and a lot of scriptures like that, but I think I have in my notes. You know, you can look at, yes, if you look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. Okay, this one too is fine. Keep this one. And the Lord spake unto what? Face to face. Was Moses in heaven? He was here. As a man speaketh unto his friend, you can grow spiritually to a place where God speaks to you face to face. Face to face means clarity. Clarity. I'm going to repeat what I said earlier on. Spiritual growth increases clarity of communication. You want to get more clarity of communication with God, start growing spiritually. God, the more childish you are, the more you will see through a glass darkly. The more you grow spiritually, the more you will see face to face. Look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. He says the same thing. Talking, you know, to Miriam and Moses and Aaron. Why they were not afraid to talk about Moses. Go to verse 7. See what he says. Verse 6. Move up. Good. He said, hear now my words. I didn't hear you, folks. God is speaking. He's speaking to three prophets. Miriam, a prophet. Aaron, a prophet. Moses, a prophet. But they are prophets and they are prophets. Not on the same level. Depending on the level of growth. Speaking to three prophets. He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Next verse. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Next verse. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently not in dark speeches. So he's not seen through a glass darkly. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? This order is coming back to the body of Christ. You know, everybody is a pastor. Today, pastor is a dime a dozen. Everybody is prophet. Everybody is apostle. But God's going to make a distinction. God's going to make a distinction. He speaks to him distinctly. Face to face. Now, it came with growth. You know, how many people know that Moses spent 40 years in the land of Midian? God was dealing with him. He didn't have this when he was in Egypt. He didn't have this when he killed the Egyptian. It was during that sojourn of getting to know God and all of that, God began to deal with him and all of that. And then, you know, it was with time, he got to know the Lord better and better. Are you listening to me? I'm going to repeat it. I've said this. Third time I'm going to say it. Spiritual growth brings clarity of communication. It's a great principle. As you grow spiritually, the clarity of your communication with God increases. And so, what God is telling us here is, he says, I have many things. John was writing it to the people, but the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing to you and I. He says, Prof, I have many things to say to you. He said, but I'm not going to say them with paper and ink. It's not the letter that you read in the Bible. That's how you're going to get it. You're going to get it as I begin to speak to you face to face. As you grow, I'll start talking to you face to face. And I'll start telling you even things that are not explicitly written inside the Bible. They will not be contrary to what is inside the Bible. Hello, somebody. He said, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So we're not throwing the Bible away. But what we are saying is that God will say a word in the Bible, but that word will be pregnant. And you're going to need either God to speak to you face to face, or an anointed man of God to speak to you face to face for you to get it. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to listen to prophetic and apostolic anointed preaching and teaching. Because there are certain things that are inside the word but are hidden. They are there, but unless somebody by the anointing is able to elucidate it, is able to bring it out, you will never see it. You will read it, or you will see the letter. You will not see the Spirit. I shared this with us in our last lesson, you know, from Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 8. He says, and they they read the word distinctly, you know, and they caused them to have understanding and gave them the sense. Like what I did this morning now about this, don't let him into your house, granting God speed. What I did by the help of the Holy Spirit was to give you the sense. Tell you, this is what he's saying. He's not saying, everybody who's not a Christian, don't let them enter your house. That's not what he's saying, even though that is what it says. If you take it literally, if you just take the letter, he said, if anybody doesn't bring this doctrine, he said, don't let him into your house, don't grant him God's spirit. You can take that literal letter, but it will kill you. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Are you listening to me? You needed me, by the grace and the mercy of God, to come and speak to you face to face for you to get it. That is why you cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Mommy, you weren't here earlier on. I told them, you cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You will cut your joy. You will cut your strength. When you do it, you know, because there's technology now, don't forget it's the same Holy Spirit who transmits the anointing. Whether it's through the television, or whether it's through the video, or whether it's through the handset, you know, it's the same Holy Spirit. And he knows the person who deliberately didn't come to church. So he's not going to get anything. He has to come to church so that the scripture will not be broken. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, much the more so as you see the day approaching. And the day is already upon us. For instance, I'm going to give you an illustration as I close. This is such a beautiful and such an important principle here, you know, of there are many things God will not say to us with paper and ink. He will say to us face to face. And I'm going to give you some examples. For instance, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. How many of you know that scripture? Where is this? Okay, go to, I think it's verse 6, verse 7. No. But it's at the last. But read this first. Say, howbeit, we speak the wisdom of wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect them is mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world which come to us. Again, you can see the link between maturity and wisdom. You see, the reason why, it's just like in the natural. You know, there are certain things a five-year-old cannot understand. It has nothing to do with his honesty of heart or anything. It's because of his level. Until he gets to 15 years old, there are certain things he can't understand. Then there are certain things he can't understand even when he's 15 that he will not understand when he's 30. Just like it is with natural growth, so it is with spiritual growth. There are certain concepts that are difficult for Christians to grasp because of their immaturity. And that's why I've said it many, many times, our pastors should emphasize growth more than they do blessings. See, most places where you go, God will bless. And there's nothing wrong with that. I believe in blessings. But if you don't emphasize growth, you're shortchanging the people. Because what is going to happen is that they will only want blessing, blessing, blessing. And they will never want to grow. And when they don't grow, they will never hear from God. Then they become eternally in bondage to you. But it's a terrible situation because it's going to bring judgment. Most pastors prefer for the people to be here, so that they can exploit them financially. But what a good pastor, he says, I have given you good pastors after my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. As you grow spiritually, you begin to hear God yourself. You are not led by the prophet. You are not led by the apostle. You are not led by the pastor. You are led by the Holy Spirit. What is the importance of the pastor and the prophet? Very important. They confirm, they clarify, and they amplify what the Holy Spirit is already saying to you. It is that confirmation, clarification, and amplification that will cause you to prosper. That's why I say, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Do you need prophets? You do, but you're not led by them. You need them to come and... That's why you come to church every Sunday. That's why you need to read your Bible yourself. You read your Bible yourself. God's already talking to you. You now come to church. You know, Pastor, I don't know anything about what's going on in your life. And I now begin to speak, and it begins to confirm what God has told you. It begins to clarify it and amplify it. Then you now know what you should do. That's God's system of getting things to work. Can you imagine if my wife and I, at the end of every service, have to sit down with each of you individually and say, hey, honorable, what's the issue? Then you tell me your problem. It takes me about 3 hours. Then by the time you finish, and I ask, okay, this is what God is saying, and I give you the counsel of God, then I move to Pastor Williams, and I do the same. Then I move to Prof here, and I do the same. And I move to Engineer Adeshola here, and I do the same. I will wear out. It's very inefficient. And you know, that's what the people want. People want this individual, and the pastor will sit down with me, he will hear my problem, and all of that. You will kill the pastor. That's what Jethro told Moses. They will kill you. No. That's why you're supposed to do your part, I'm supposed to do my part. My part is to pray in the Holy Spirit and receive from God the message for the day. Your part is to read your Bible and pray and come to church. Then the two of us connect. So that what I am saying now synchronizes with what the Holy Spirit is saying in you. It's the same Holy Spirit, and you begin to grow. Is it clear? Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. We read it earlier. Then verse 7. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. I say, everybody shout hidden. Turn to your neighbor. Say, the wisdom of God is there. Isn't that the word of God? But it's hidden. That's why I need to grow spiritually. As I grow spiritually, I start seeing those hidden things. He says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the honor of kings to search it out. Notice, it is the honor of kings, not servants or princes. So it's growth. Are you listening to me? Now, look at this simple scripture. Then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and jump to the last verse. I think the last verse is verse 13 or 16. It's 16. He said, but who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, I read this scripture so many times over the years. And even then I thought, oh yeah, thank God you didn't come. We can understand how God thinks. That's how I used to see it. And that's not wrong. then some years ago, God opened the scripture up to me in a way I had never heard it before, and I had never seen it before. But before I go to that opening, let me go to another scripture. It's in John 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, in verse 13. John chapter 16. No, pray for them, man. I don't know how we got Samuel out of that. It's part of what we're talking about. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. No, go to verse 12, I think it is. Where he says, I have many things. Aha, this is it. It's the same thing Jesus is saying that John said in a different way. He said, I have yet what? Many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Growth. You're too young. You're too spiritually immature to bear it now. He said, how be it? Next verse. How be it? When he, notice the Holy Spirit is a he. He's not an it. He's a person. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? Guide you into all truth. Now, remember that the truth is the word. His word is truth. So he's saying, as you grow spiritually, the Holy Spirit will guide you inside the word of God. He will guide you into all the written truth. For he shall not speak of himself. I didn't hear you. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you. From where? From the truth. Things to come. Now, let's stop there, and I'll go back to my illustration. I want to use this as an example, because something that has happened in front of all of you. So, and it's something you can all appreciate by the grace and the mercy of God. So, we have the mind of Christ. Okay, we think like God, and you know, we understand how God, you know, God's mind, we have the same mind, you know, we can hear things from the Holy Spirit, and all that is true. Then, over the years, this understanding, its growth, began to come to me. When he says we have the mind of Christ, he's not just talking about thinking like God alone. He's talking about the capability of the human mind. Then these scriptures started coming to me. We have the mind of Christ. Then he took me to Solomon. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. I've preached it here before. The ability of the mind of Christ. First Kings chapter 4, verse 29. He says, and God gave Solomon what? Wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And what? Largeness of heart, even as the sand on the seashore. He's trying to use words to explain a human mind, the capacity of the human mind that has increased tremendously. Are you listening to me? Then the Lord now gave me this understanding. And Jesus was the one who said this in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. He said, and a greater than Solomon is here. But you have the mind of that is greater than the mind of Solomon. That's how that opened up to me. That you will have incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning ability, incredible artistic ability, incredible mathematical ability, incredible musical ability, all in one human mind. That is the full meaning of we have the mind of Christ. But you can't get it just by reading it. It took me, by the help of the Holy Spirit, coming to speak to you face. You wouldn't have been able to put those scriptures and that understanding together if the Holy Spirit doesn't show you. And this understanding, as I close, is part of what the Bible says is, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things God... I've never heard anybody make this kind of description I've just made. But it's exactly what the Bible said. I didn't manufacture it. He said, it gave him breadth of mind, like the sand at the sea. God gave wisdom. And then he said, a greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you can believe it, believe it. You know, that I was preaching recently. I said, see the invisible, believe the incredible, and receive the impossible. Give the Lord a clap offering. It takes faith. Because that kind of thing, you will stagger. He said, he staggered not at the promise. Most people, when you hear that, they're just staggered. It can never be. You know what happened? I'll give you a small story. I'm going to close. I was on a plane. This was must have been 15, if not 20 years ago. So it's been a long time. But I'll never. It was the thing that struck my thinking, you know. And then the Holy Spirit now began to build up. And then I got it after some time. I didn't get it overnight, though. It took me some time, you know. That's why it's growth. You know, I was on a plane, you know, and I was watching this movie on the airplane, and I went to a documentary. I was just, you know, I was just flipping through the channels, you know, and I saw something that was very interesting, and they were talking about autistic savants. It's called SAVANT, but it's pronounced savant. You know, it's from the French. You know, just it's from the word savvy. Savvy means somebody who knows. So they were talking about. Actually, it wasn't even talk. It was demonstrated about this boy. I don't know. He was 20, something like that. He was autistic. He couldn't button his shirt properly and all of that. But if he hears a piece of music once, he will play it flawlessly. So they played Mendelssohn. He played it. They played Beethoven. He played it. They played Bach. He played it. I was watching it like this. I said, wow. I was shocked. I said, wow. And the Holy Spirit now said to me, he said, the human mind is capable of it. He said, this is not. I had heard truth like this about Adam naming all the animals in the Garden of Eden, which is true. But I was now seeing it demonstrated in our life and time, in our own generation. I saw the boy play the thing flawlessly. So I now began to make investigation. I now discovered that there were different types of autistic savants. There was one, it's on the internet, I'm sure many of us would have seen it. There's a little boy, he's about 5 years old. There is no calculation he cannot calculate. One man asked him, he would tell him, multiply 1,024 by 3 million, as well, and he would just tell the man the answer. There was another boy, the black boy. He was playing baseball and something hit him on the head. And from that day, in our language, that means may God give us a knock on the head so that we can have the mind of Christ, so our head can be correct. And that boy, you can tell him a date. He will tell you what year it is. Then they flew him over Tokyo. He will draw the map as almost clearly as if he took a photograph. I said, amazing. The point is this. It means the potential is there. It means the human mind is capable of it. So what is the problem? Sin. Sin. If you can get rid of the sin nature, you will manifest the ability of the mind of Christ. And anybody who has that kind of mind is a god. Is a god. I mean, we're already gods, but what I'm saying is manifest. such a person, obviously, if you had that kind of mind, you would be one of the richest guys on the planet, if not the richest. Because of the kind of ability. And that's what God is going to show the world. He's going to demonstrate His glory through His church. But all of that came with spiritual growth. It came with clarity of understanding. It was in the Word, but it was hidden. I had to connect the dots. I had to, from the mind of Christ, I had to know that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And I had to know that the greater than Solomon is here. If all those connections were not there, I would not get that understanding. Is it clear? It's the same thing. So there are many things in your life God wants to tell you. As you grow spiritually, the clarity of your communication will increase. And you begin to hear God, talk to God face to face. Let us pray. Talk to God. Hallelujah. It's growth. It's growth. Even Samuel. Remember Samuel as a little boy? He didn't know the voice of the Lord. He went to Eli and said, "You called me." Eli said, "I didn't call you." He said, "Go back and sleep." Then he heard again. He came again. God said, "I didn't call you." Then he heard the voice again. And Samuel said, next time, he says, "Tell him, this is thy servant. I'm hearing what you're saying." And God began to show him. And then, but he grew over the years. These things, there's something things in God you can't rush. People don't like to hear that. People want to, they want one prophet to come. You know what people want? They want me to come to a service like this. You know, me and mommy, you know, and Pastor Becker will come and prophesy for everybody. So I will lay hands on honorable. As it thus said the Lord, I'll give you your own. And Pastor Tony, you get your own. Then Pastor Rhoda, too, you get your own. You know, we will not, there will be no preaching. There will be no teaching. People will not grow. That's why God doesn't do it. And familiar spirits do. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings. Storm, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
He's an awesome God.
Our God. He's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven,
above with wings.
Dumb power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings. God, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. An awesome God. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings.
God, power.
Power and love. Our God is an awesome.
One more time. Our God. Hallelujah. Awesome God.
Awesome God.
He reigns
from heaven
above
with wisdom.
Dumb power and love. Our God is an awesome.
One more time. Our God.
Our God. Our
is an awesome God.
Awesome in all your way. Lord, he reigns
from heaven. Some power and love. Our God is a awesome.
Put one hand on your heart and raise your other hand to God.
Our God is an awesome God.
God,
He reigns from heaven and above with
wisdom,
dumb power.
Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness.
In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you want me to talk to you face to face. You want me to enjoy clarity of communication with you, not in dark speeches, not seen through a glass darkly, but to see you face to face. And I understand that this will only come by humility and spiritual growth. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to prioritize spiritual growth in my life, knowing that as I become a man, I will see you more clearly and clearly. I will hear you more clearly and clearly. I will no longer see through a glass darkly, dark speeches and similitudes, but I will talk to you face to face. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me in this new year, that the end of this year, I will be able to say, I see you more clearly. I hear you more distinctly. I follow you more nearly. I obey you more promptly and completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Lekatolo mashalaka. Zefridia. Nongridila matolo mashala. Lefridia kastufiningas. Lopridia. Lord have mercy on us. Lefridika tolo mandar dolo mashala. Lopridi tolo mando frederes. Lopridia tolo mando frederes. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Longeras, Tofrines, Lofrines, Longeras, Giles, Tofrineas, Tofrines, Lombrilis, Tofrineas, Longaras, Lombrilis, Chiki Tofrines, Longridolos, Tofrines, Tolomongo Tofrines, God. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give a lot of
read the word and pray in tongues. Those hidden things. When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking hidden mysteries. And they're painting pictures. Those pictures, the Holy Spirit begins to push them into your mind. When he's now reading the word, there'll be a synchronization between the picture in your mind and the Bible that you read. They'll be going, oh, that's it. 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 I've had this over the years. We're not there perfect yet, but I can tell you from personal experience that everything the Bible actually says, it says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. It's all there. There is nothing. Physics is there. Engineering is there. Medicine is there. You know, economics is there. Finance is there. Everything is inside the Word of God. The problem is we don't know how to dig it out. And we haven't grown spiritually. The devil, through the Babylon church, has kept the church in spiritual immaturity so she can exploit her financially. But God has set us free now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering.